Hello, thank you for joining me. It's Sunday evening and we're going to talk about a new covenant. We're going to talk about Jesus' blood speaking better things for us. Jesus' blood speaks better things, the blood of the new covenant. Hallelujah. Not the blood of goats and sheep and bulls, but the blood of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So thank you for those who are joining or who will join later, those who are jumping on right now or who will jump on in just a couple of minutes. So, as I said, I'm speaking on the new covenant. And as I was reading through Hebrews, I was reading through Hebrews chapter 11 today, preparing for something else. And as I read through, I realized that these Old Testament saints that are spoken of in Hebrews 11, particularly the last 10 verses of Hebrews 11, I realized that these Old Testament saints never saw the promise of the Messiah. They never saw the promise of the new covenant that was given, that was prophesied about in the Old Testament. They never saw them fulfilled. They didn't have a Bible. They may have had pieces read to them, or maybe they even had some of those scriptures written down, but they didn't have the Bible like we have today. Hallelujah. But that should bring conviction into our lives to make us realize we have so much more than they had. We have so much more than those Old Testament saints had when it comes to knowing the scriptures, when it comes to knowing what God did, what Jesus did, that he came into this world to redeem sinners. Hallelujah. To reconcile us unto himself. To reconcile us to the Father, that the Father would be glorified in the Son. So thank you so much for joining me, and I believe that God is going to reveal many things about the new covenant to you this very night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe that there's so much on this topic. There's so much on the topic of the new covenant and those things that were prophesied about the new covenant, when it would come and how it would come, that I believe you should study it out in your own personal devotional time. So I challenge you and I encourage you to do so. So let's pray. Let's pray that God would seal this message in our hearts. Let's pray that God would reveal and impart revelation and insight into this matter, into this topic. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray. I thank you, Jesus. And I pray that by your Spirit, Lord God, you would reveal and impart revelation, Lord God, that we would understand what your scriptures are saying. Many have trouble understanding until they receive revelation from your Spirit, and it becomes like a completely different book as they read through with the help of the Holy Spirit. As Smith Wigglesworth said, some like to read the Bible in Hebrew, some like to read it in Greek, and I like to read it in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we want to read it in your Spirit, Lord God, and we want revelation directly from your throne in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, help me to speak your words and not my own, Lord God. So first of all, you should know that the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians. It was written to Jewish Christians who were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. The book's purpose was to encourage these believers by reminding them of the hope that they had in their Messiah, while meticulously explaining the new covenant and what it meant for them personally as a people. So let's begin by reading Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And it says this: Seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus is our great high priest. Although he is the Word of God, he took on human flesh and dwelt among us. He was manifested in human form to pay the price for the sin of all mankind. And many of us already know that. Hallelujah. If you don't know that, you need to understand that you can be redeemed, that you can be forgiven. It doesn't matter who doesn't forgive you, but God can forgive you through what his Son has done at the cross. That's why the blood speaks better things for us. So he was manifested in this flesh for this purpose, to be sacrificed for all mankind. And Jesus knows. He knows what we're going through. He knows the temptations we face each and every day. He knows our temptations. He knows the weaknesses that we experience, and he can sympathize with us because of them. Jesus has experienced life as a human being, and he has experienced human weakness in his physical body. Since he's lived as a man and yet never sinned at any point in his life, he became the perfect atonement for us. He became the perfect atonement to atone for our sins. Beyond anything an animal sacrifice could have done in the Old Testament, he has become that, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate atonement for all mankind. Through him, we've been redeemed, and we've been deemed righteous in the eyes of our Father because of what Jesus has done, not what we have done. With this righteousness, we boldly approach God's throne. That's what this scripture is speaking about. And what an amazing yet unthinkable thing it is to enter the Holy of Holies. That's where the glory of God is. That's where the presence of God is. That's where God would appear. That's where God would appear as the high priest went in year after year on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. But now we have the access point through the blood of Jesus to enter into the Holy of Holies, to enter into the glory of God, the presence of God at any time. And we take that for granted. We realize, we need to realize that that is a privilege. It's not something that we should take lightly, but we can enter into the presence of God. And not only can we enter into the presence of God, but the glory of God is within us. We're glory carriers. We carry the presence of God wherever we go. Wherever he goes, we go. Wherever we go, he goes. Hallelujah. It's and vice versa. We carry the glory of God with us that can make people whole. The glory has the power to make people whole. The presence of God has the power to heal, save, and deliver wherever we go, wherever we travel. So to me, these passages also speak about progress. Progress, not perfection. The one who is always perfect has been glorified, and we are viewed as perfect in the sight of God. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done, his perfect work, the perfect work of the cross. So be confident in the one you call Lord. I would challenge you, be confident in him and what he has done, in the purchase that he has made. He's purchased not only our forgiveness, but redemption, but healing, deliverance, and everything that we need. Anything that we need, we can find in the presence of God because of the access point that the blood of Jesus has created for us. In his presence, we find tremendous grace and favor. In the Lord's presence, we find all that we need to live a life of abundance. By abundance, I'm not necessarily speaking of money or possessions, although God will provide for you. I'm speaking about the wholeness and satisfaction found in knowing your God, found in knowing the depth of God's love for us as well. So I'm speaking about knowing how much you're loved by the Heavenly Father, by your Heavenly Father. And I don't know if you've seen a message that I previously released and preached on in Calexico, California. I would say that's one of the greatest messages that God has delivered through me. Hallelujah. But it's about the pursuing love of God, that God pursues us. He comes after us. He chases us down, even when we don't want to be found. But he comes after us to reveal his love, to reveal that it's still possible that he can forgive, that he can redeem you, that he can reach out to you and redeem you and reconcile you unto himself. Because many times we can tell ourselves and the enemy can tell us that we're unreachable. But there's no such thing. As long as you have breath in your lungs, there's still hope for your life. There's still hope for your loved ones. There's still hope for your children. There's still hope. Hallelujah. Remember that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So as I speak about this, I'm speaking about knowing how much you're loved, again, by your Heavenly Father. So understanding your identity in Christ changes everything. When you understand how much you're loved, when you understand you're not an orphan, but you're a son or a daughter of the Most High King, that changes everything because you begin to walk in what's been purchased for you. You begin to walk in your identity. You begin to walk in the authority. You begin to walk in the power and presence of God, again, that he's purchased for you. I'm going to be a little bit repetitive in this message, but it's because I want you to know the great things that he has purchased for us through his blood. Now let's move on to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And it says this: For every high priest from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. We can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. He also says in another place, You are a priest forever, after the order, or according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So every high priest offers up gifts and sacrifices to God. Jesus experienced human weakness while on this earth, as we've already spoken of and we've already covered. Because of this, he has compassion on those who are weak and have fallen short. How many are grateful that he has compassion on those who have fallen short? Hallelujah. I know I do, because I have fallen short more times that I could count, or anyone could count. Only God could count how many times I've fallen short. And I'm so thankful for his grace. I'm thankful for his compassion. He has compassion on those who've gone astray, those who've fallen away. He has compassion on the backslider. He sees the ones that don't even know they're sinning, and yet they are. He sees the ones that have known him but have chosen to head in a different direction. He sees those who believe but have very little faith. Jesus is able to intervene on their behalf. He prays for us. He is our mediator, and he not only knows us intimately, he knows our uniqueness and our weakness. In this, he offers strength, provision, and protection. He preserves our lives in times when we don't know how we'll make it through another day. Have you been there? Hallelujah. I've been there, but I didn't know how I'd make it through another minute, another hour, because of some of the torment and suffering I was going through at different moments in my life, mostly as a backslider. But God, let me tell you something. God allows the enemy to come at times to push you closer to him. He allows the enemy to carry out a certain set of events, or sometimes even a little bit of suffering in your life. He allows that suffering to push you toward him, that you would repent, that you would get clean before him. And I didn't understand that until I got clean, until I repented, until I offered up my life to him once again and surrendered to Christ. Then I understood why the Lord allowed certain things to happen in my life, because he wants us as close to him as we could possibly get, that we can hear from him, that we can do his will according to the divine destiny that he has set before us to live out in this life. So Jesus is the greatest of all high priests, because he wasn't only called by God, he was ordained and glorified by the Father. The Father himself declared that Jesus was his son, and he has called him as a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Father himself declared that Jesus was his son. Really reflect on that for a minute. How many say that God can't have a son? Namely, those involved in believing in Islam and practicing Islam say that God does not have a son. He couldn't have a son. Well, he has a son. Hallelujah. And he's with us always. He's there trying to reveal himself, trying to get people to understand who he is. Through his people, through his spirit, through his word. At all times, he's trying to get our attention. So as we continue on, verse 7 speaks of Jesus while he was still here on earth in his unglorified body. During this time, he suffered in his flesh and learned many things, the Bible says here. This scripture says he learned obedience through suffering. Think about that. He learned obedience through suffering. That poses the question, how could Jesus learn anything? If he was and is God, how could he learn? The simple answer is this. Jesus took on human flesh. He was fully man and fully God at the same time on earth, which is still a great mystery. A mystery because we can't fully wrap our heads around that concept. Jesus in human flesh was learning what it was like to be human on earth so he could sympathize with his creation. So when he died on the cross and resurrected, then later ascended to heaven, he returned to heaven, he received a glorified body, and that was the moment when he was perfected. So when I say perfected, I don't mean that Jesus had ever sinned. I don't mean that. What I mean is that his human body was glorified. He could no longer die. He could no longer suffer pain in his human body. In that moment that he was changed, his humanity became eternal along with his deity. And that's the best way that I can explain that to you. He sits at the right hand of the Father even now with the wounds in his feet and wrists as a reminder of how far he went to reveal his love to mankind. Having been perfected and glorified, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who would obey him. To all who would obey him. Are you in that group? Are you obeying him? Are you following him? Are you placing your faith in him? Now let's move on to the topic of Melchizedek. So his name means, now get this, his name means King of Righteousness or King of Peace. He was the King of Salem and priest of the Most High God, Scripture says. Melchizedek and Abraham met after Abraham's miraculous battle to save Lot. Melchizedek bestowed a blessing on Abraham in the name of El Elyon, God Most High, and praised God for giving Abraham a victory in battle. Abraham presented Melchizedek with a tithe of all the spoils he had gathered. By doing so, he recognized him as a priest because only a priest could receive a tithe. So that's very interesting, isn't it? Only a priest could receive a tithe. So now watch this and see what happens and see what's revealed here. In Psalm 110, a messianic psalm written by David, Melchizedek is presented as a type of Christ. By highlighting Melchizedek's unique priesthood, the writer reveals that Christ's new covenant priesthood is superior to the old Levitical order and the priesthood of Aaron. Some people believe that Melchizedek was actually an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ, and I happen to be one of those people. You may ask me why. Why would you believe something like that? Well, the reason I believe this is Hebrews 7:3, and it says this, that Melchizedek was without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning or days or end of life. Resembling the Son of God, it says he remains a priest forever. Hallelujah. I don't see how he could be anyone else than the pre-incarnate Christ. I really don't. When those details were provided from the scriptures, I cannot deny that. So the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, of whom we have much to say, and it's hard to explain this to you because you've become dull of hearing. In so many words, that's what he's saying. He says this in verse 11. The writer later addresses the immature state this group of believers has been stuck in. They found themselves in stagnation. They found themselves not growing in Christ, not growing in intimacy, not growing in knowledge or wisdom in the Lord. Works in and of themselves are dead without faith. And there's no amount of good works that any of us can do to be saved. We need to remember that. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves, it is the gift of God. To briefly summarize the point I'm attempting to make, the writer saw a lack of understanding regarding the new covenant being established. under a new priesthood, because some of them were being deceived into believing that works according to the law of Moses were necessary to attain salvation. That's what was happening here in the book of Hebrews among these Jewish Christians. Instead of growing in relationship with Christ and in understanding according to the grace of God made available through the cross, they continued as babes in Christ, thinking on or pondering, should I believe? Should I believe according to the law? Should I believe according to the grace that's been given through the new covenant of Christ? Or should I do both? Should I abide with both of these covenants? And let me tell you that the moral code of the Old Testament still stands. You know, the Ten Commandments still stand. When we get into the laws about foods consumed and clothing that must be worn, those are the things that no longer apply to believers. Because Jesus came to create a new covenant in his blood, and he gave his commandments while he was here on earth. So we need to know the word of God. We need to know the word according to the Old Testament. But there are some Old Testament laws that no longer apply to us, and that's where they were kind of getting caught in the middle. What do I believe? What don't I believe? And these people came along that we would call today Judaizers, that told them, if you want to be a Christian, you need to abide by these Old Testament rules and regulations as well. And that wasn't the truth. So we really need to continue in prayer for discernment, church. We need to continue in prayer that God would help us to discern, and discernment is a mark of the mature Christian. We need to be led by the Spirit and the Word of God. We can't afford to be tossed around by every wave of doctrine. And we can't live out our lives for Christ when we don't know what we should be living by. We don't know the rules that we should be living by. We can't live like that. We need to live according to what God has spoken to us pertaining to this time, to this season, under the new covenant. The influence that we have on other believers and unbelievers is significant. There's a huge impact that we can make by living as examples of how Christ lived, you know, living as imitators of Christ, I should say, living out what's in the Word. As we live out what's in the Word, as we live in the Spirit, we're going to make a huge impact on every person and every sphere of influence we have or we're a part of. So now please turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. So these are the two verses that I want to read right now. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The Lamb is its light. Hallelujah. You can see the sun shining on my face. But we want the light of Christ shining in us and through us, don't we? Hallelujah. But what does this tell us about the Lamb? What does this tell us about God and the Lamb? What we find in this verse, or in these two verses, is that Jesus is not only the high priest, he's also the temple, and he's referred to as the Lamb. He's also the sacrifice. And here we have the new covenant system in its entirety. Jesus is the Lamb, the temple, and the high priest. He's all of it. He encompasses the entire new covenant. He is the new covenant. He not only established the new covenant, he is the new covenant. He's the one who offered the sacrifice, and yet he was the sacrifice. He's the glory of the temple, and he has illuminated our hearts. Therefore, the temporal system of sacrifice and worship was established to point us toward the eternal covenant that was to come. Hallelujah. We're not to stay in that old covenant mentality, that old covenant mentality that many stay in, of works, of if I do more good than bad, then I'll go to heaven. If I do more good works than bad works, than evil works, then I'll be right in the sight of God. That's not possible. That's where the gospel comes in. That's when the shed blood of Jesus comes in, that says you'll never be enough, you'll never be good enough. Although God sees you as priceless and he wants to purchase you, he wants to redeem you, he wants to bring you out of the pit of darkness, he wants to bring you out of your sins, he wants to reconcile you unto the Father. Hallelujah. He wants to bring you out and set you upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. So the blood of animals was spilled to atone or to cover our sins, to atone for or cover our sins. But Jesus' blood was spilled, and through his sacrifice, all that placed their faith in him have been reconciled, restored, and saved for eternal life. They've been set apart. We've been sealed. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Those who are saved, those who are born again, have been sealed with a deposit that says you will have eternal life. You'll be with Jesus forever. Hallelujah. He's with you now. He's with us always. I've encountered Jesus in dreams and visions. I've encountered Jesus in unique ways. I've encountered the Holy Spirit in unique ways. And I want you to encounter him as well. I want you to have a more deep and intimate relationship with Jesus. I continually say this. We need to read the word. We need to stabilize and support our faith through sustaining ourselves through nourishment. And I'm saying this to those of you who are believers, who are followers, but you find yourself wavering, you find yourself doubting, you find yourself in times where you're like, I could have been acting, but I'm sitting back. And I don't know why. I don't know why I'm sitting on the bench while everyone else is out sharing the gospel, while everyone else is out there serving in love, but I'm not doing anything. Maybe it's because you're not feeding your faith. You're not fueling your faith through the word, through prayer, through worshiping, through fellowship. Make sure you're doing those things. And I want to offer you the opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior right now. So say this prayer with me. And it's not about the words you speak. It's more so, hallelujah, it's more so about believing these things, about believing the word. And I believe, or believing these words as you speak them, and I believe that Jesus is working right now through his Spirit, that God is moving through his Spirit, that he's drawing you in, that he's revealing his Son to you right now, that he died on the cross, that he's paved the way for you to be saved, healed, forgiven. If you need healing in your body, if you need deliverance, you feel like there's demonic powers, there's dark powers at work, spiritual powers at work to delay, destroy, and dismantle in your life, then it's time. Then it's time to come to him. It's time to come to Jesus. It's time to lay it all down and ask him to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you, to redeem you, restore you, and set you on the path that you should walk. So say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord God, strengthen me. Help me to do your work, Lord. Provide me with the strength, the wisdom, and all that I need to follow you for all of my days. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, that you rose from the grave, and that you're a Lord forevermore. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit, which is pure and perfect and holy, that I'd be filled with your love, your peace, and your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I believe many are being saved. Many are being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is going to give you a peace that passes all understanding, which is going to give you a peace that sustains you in those difficult moments, in times of grief, in times of pain, in times of loss, in times where you just feel like you can't make it through another day. God bless you. Thank you so much for being on this live feed. And I hope to see you very soon. Keep your eyes to the skies and your hand to the plow. God bless you. Keep doing the work of God.